Random House Audio presents The Afterwife by Gigi Lavangi Grazer. Read for you by Kate Amazer. Prologue. Hi, my name is Hannah, and I'm a widow. 3 in the morning. Again. Like any good therapist, my bathroom mirror has infinite patience. Before I was widowed, I say, I was born. Then I had boobs. Then I had relationships. My relationships were all in L.A., a magical place where the men have less body hair than the women. Then I fell in love. Then I was pregnant. Then I was married. I do things backward. It's my way. I haven't slept in weeks. Tears come to my eyes. Eyes I no longer recognize. Then, I was the happiest woman on earth, I whisper. Being a widow in Los Angeles is not as easy as it sounds. I kid. I found out the hard way. No one talks about death. A dead civilian is as unpopular here as crow's feet and fat kids. But if a celebrity dies, you must literally beg people to shut up. You won't find top 10 non-celeb deaths on TMZ. Civilians don't die from a phenobarbital injection administered by a personal anesthesiologist or from ingesting Vicodin and champagne with a crack chaser. When our time comes, it's without bells and whistles, pomp and circumstance, vodka baskets and tranny hookers. Try this L.A. party trick. At your next soiree on a Malibu deck, or in a Los Feliz garden next to a koi pond, or, like me, attempting a downward dog at a Santa Monica hip-hop yoga class saturated in tramp stamps, drop the line, "My husband just died, thank you," when someone asks how you've been. Then watch them scatter. And now, I tell my reflection, my captive audience, the one who listens. Now, I'm at a loss. 1. The Last Time. September. Saturday. Time? Frickin' early. Now? Really? I said. But I'm so tired. I pulled the covers over my head. I just want to sleep in, I said, my voice muffled. Work had been brutal this week. My producing partner in crime, Jay Olson, and I had shot a reality show pilot in 5 days, watched helplessly as our director stormed off, were at the root of a possible lawsuit from a competing production company, and had been fired and rehired twice in 3 hours by the network head. But who was I kidding? My acting chops are on a par with Snooki's. That's what all the girls say at 6 in the morning, John, my husband, said, in his hoarse morning voice as he tried to slide my pajama bottoms off without untying them. Well, guess what? My hips are actually bigger than my waist. This is where we consistently run into trouble. I hate you, I said as I frantically slipped the pants to my ankles. I was already wet. My hands grabbed the headboard and held steady. I hate you too, John said, his unshaven cheek against mine, his breathing heavy. He was already inside me. Our routine had been going on for a good... How old was Ellie? Our daughter, our curly-haired, chubby, nearsighted daughter... Born Valentine's Day 3 years ago. So, over 4 years. Ouch! I said, shifting my hips. Pain and pleasure brought me back to the bed, which hadn't known a quiet moment since John moved in. My hands were still holding onto that headboard. We'd cracked it long ago. There was no plan to fix it. What would be the point? John wrapped his arm around me, squeezing me tight and grinding his hips against my rump, the one he encouraged to grow by throwing things like linguine with duck sausage and truffles at it. "You could gain a few," he'd say, slapping my bottom. There are no sexier words in the English language. You could gain a few. And to me, not a small person, not a person who looked like she missed a meal, ever. "No," I said. "No, no, no." I liked to protest, though I wouldn't go so far as a painted sign or a bullhorn. Just enough so he wouldn't think I was easy. I mean, even though we were married and all. On Saturday mornings, John liked to be at the farmer's market on the 3rd Street promenade early, before the regular customers, the crowds, the crazies, to show off Ellie to his old chef buddies, smell the fresh produce, bag some grapes, pears, figs, haggle over the price of bison, down oysters perfumed by the Pacific, and grab an espresso. We'd be eating something amazing tonight. Something with figs. Figs, a brown sauce, a roast guinea hen. Of course, we usually ate something amazing for dinner, even if it were a simple, perfect omelet. John had been a chef until he retired to stay home, raise our daughter, and write his cookbooks. I encouraged him. He'd mesmerized me from the get-go, using his powers of mind control, his slight pooch, his manly forearms, and his penis wand. God damn, my husband's hot. I bit his shoulder, like biting into a ham. You've probably heard of them. John's books, I mean. The Cooking for Bachelors series. He'd been a busboy, waiter, sous chef, head chef, then private chef for various celebrities, before Mexican for Bachelors, Italian for Bachelors, and French for Bachelors took off. No, no, John's not a bachelor. If he were a bachelor, I'd know about it. But he had spent a long time, 40 years, being a bachelor. So he'd done his research. That is, before I pinned him down one sunny afternoon in my front yard at Casa Sugar. Back to the marital bed. I came, a small shudder in release. Then again, a deeper orgasm. Not like when I'm on top, rubbing my body against the arc of his belly. Those orgasms go back centuries. They're my favorite. Even though I complain that I'm doing all the work. I'm gyrating, rocking, whipping my hair like Tina Turner. It's a whole show. You'd think I was getting paid. God, I love a belly on a man. I didn't know how much until I met John. Not a huge Budweiser gut, but not one of those manorexic 18,000 packs atop android legs running on San Vicente. That nice, warm tummy on my man tells me a couple of important things. A, that he's enjoyed food and wine. B, that he's not in an unhealthy relationship with a Bowflex. John came inside me, with my leg over his shoulder. How it got there, I have no idea. I loved watching him. His bright hazel eyes glazed over, like he was in a dream state. And me, Hannah Marsh Bernal. I was making it happen for him. We were still trying for the next baby. We'd probably still be trying well into our 90s. I had read a study that stated women who used condoms with their longtime mates were more depressed than women who didn't. Sperm, apparently, was human Prozac. Good news for me. We'd gotten a baby and years of me walking around in a drugged stupor out of it. I truly believed there was something stored up in his body that settled me. If we hadn't had sex in a few days, I would tell him people's lives were at stake. I would tell him the angels would cry if we didn't make love. Close to 200 pounds of masculinity slowly rolled off my body, and there I remained, breathless. I closed my eyes. "Let that be a lesson to you," I said, barely above a whisper. John kissed my cheek and nuzzled my neck.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?